After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Middle cough! Hey, babes! John, here we go. Sunday night, live on YouTube once again. Get used to us. We're not going anywhere. And the podcast is here getting ready for another week post-draft. It's a whole new world, John.
We're like McGlinchey. Just had our fifth-year option picked up. Got a couple years minimum ahead of us.
That's right.
A couple years.
Stock up, John. Stock up.
Ready to roll, baby. Ready to roll.
I know that the YouTube money's rolling in because you popped for a meal and had. I like that. That looks good.
I got a bunch, actually.
I might have to get one of my own.
Big. They are pretty sweet.
I've seen them everywhere.
You know, as independent small businessmen like we are, I appreciate anyone who runs a business, who's got a cool product, who's not like super big. I mean, these guys could be massive one day, but it's like I appreciate their hustle. And I feel like I know them, right? I went to college
with
so many people that were from Northern San Diego, the heart of San Diego, all of them diehard Charger fans. That's what you and I have talked about it for years. People shit on that franchise, but I know so many. I've never met a Rams fan. I've met countless Chargers and people that were dead set.
Well, Rams fans like over 45. You've probably met them, right?
So yeah, I'm talking our age range and younger. They didn't exist. I know so many people that are 30, 35, 28. They were huge Chargers. They were devastated when the Patriots beat them when they had the home game. You know, I remember my friend Grant in college cried because he was thinking Super Bowl guy, 14-2, Marty. I mean, it was like we're winning. That was their shot.
All right. If you're listening on the podcast, don't forget we got a YouTube channel. If you haven't checked it out, we've got a lot of content up there. In fact, before we started this podcast, we put three videos up on YouTube about some of the 49ers draft picks, in addition to some of the other videos we already did over the weekend. What else? Oh, mailbag will be back this week. We had to hiatus the mailbag this past weekend because so much draft stuff. But go to iTunes, leave us a review, 5 stars, put a question in there, whatever you want, and that will be in the mailbag over the weekend.
Yep, do that. And yeah, so YouTube, mailbag, American-Giant.com, promo code HAM. We'll get into a little bit later. So get ready.
Yeah.
Anything else? I'm missing something?
I mean, if you have any problems with your promo code HAM hats, let me know. There was some, you know, it's all good. We got a few.
I said this to you before. I'm doing it again. I had someone else hit me like, hey, I was a little late. Can I Venmo you the money? I am king of above my pay grade. I'm not the point man. I've hated that guy my entire life of working in corporate America / the NFL. I fucking couldn't. I wanted to slap that guy. And it is an easy thing to say. It's like, go to guy. It's not my thing. It's such a cop-out move. I am that guy.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Everyone has been super cool. Everyone that bought a hat. We got, you know, tracking numbers all over the place. But
I told you, we redo it. Split the duties.
I don't mind. You know, one guy hit me up and he's like, or somebody tweeted at me like, you got any hats left? And somebody replied to that person and said they ran out. And I replied, no, we didn't run out. We sold out. Okay. Yeah. No one ever says Nike ran out of their drop when you can't get them at 801 because, you know, you've been Xboxes didn't run out. They sold out. They
had to. Sold out. Yeah. We sold
small
out.
Small batch. Not really that small, but yeah, man.
Hard scale. So, scale. That's a key word. Scale.
Scale.
We onboarded the philosophy and scaled it. You know?
That's right. Scaled it. Warehouse. Shipping. Vertical integration.
Yeah. We like to vertically integrate.
Vertical integration. So, all right, man. God. How great was the draft? Did you feel like, by the way, in round three, we were in round 12? Because that's... I forget about that feeling every year. Round three, you got. I remind myself, like, these are really big picks.
Yeah, by about the fifth round, it gets really boring, and you realize teams start doing press conferences in, like, the sixth and seventh round. They don't give a shit. I remember one thing I'll never forget is when you're not allowed in the draft room, like, you don't have a role, and if you sit at your desk... That first round, the doors are shut. You're like waiting for them to be like, everyone come in now. By probably middle of the second round, doors start opening. People roam in and out food. You can go in there and kick it. And like, it's like, oh, they're making calls. That first round is the Super Bowl. Probably early on in the second round, pretty seriously. By the third round, guy. But by the fifth, it's like, you know, owners are bringing their buddies in, like fucking drinking some beers in the back corner. Like, who's that guy? They're like, oh, that's Billy's assistant manager to Lurie. You know, it's like, you no one even knows what's going on. Loosens up. Do you see the dress codes come Saturday? Everyone's wearing team sweats. No one cares. That's to me, that's a telltale sign of the NFL is the dress code. First night, for the most part, everyone's wearing a suit. By Saturday, I'd say half the league's team sweats. Some of the league goes like a polo, you know, it's very hit or miss.
The Bucks dress for the weather. Like there's no AC in the building.
Can't blame him.
Jerry suit and tie. What's his name? The owner of the Falcons.
He's a suit and tie guy, right?
I want to call him Albert Breer. What's his name?
Yeah. It's Arthur Blank.
Yeah. Just like has 50 red suits. Like if Arthur ever had to sell the Falcons, he'd have nothing to wear. Cause all he has is red suits, black shirts.
Yeah.
But,
it does feel the Northeast owner. And I think this, you know, this guy's a polarizing name, but say what you want about Trump. He wears a fucking suit 24/7, 365 for the last like 40 years. Me. I mean, I put on a suit for one day a year. It's like, oh, this is like hurting my neck. I don't know how they do it. Like, you do notice the Tampa Bay, Jason Light, like, he's a shorts and t-shirt guy. Bruce Arians, like, that's his guy.
Yeah.
Sean McVay, like, they're not, Kyle, not a suit guy. Pete Carroll, John Schneider, like, they ain't doing suits.
Were the Glazers in the draft room at all, or are they dealing with the mob? Trying to get them to sell the soccer team. You can take our team. I saw one of the signs. You can take our team, but you can't take our soul.
Oh, that's what the people that the Riders are.
They're not Arsenal's team. They're
Manchester.
Chelsea.
Yeah.
Oh, they're Man U.
Yeah. That was which I always thought they were the powerhouse. Like that was the one that was like the Yankees of soccer.
That's just because Beckham played for him, right?
Yeah, but they were elite. It looked like it got a little out of control today.
John,
it's like, guys, we're not even doing it. Fucking calm down.
Let's begin here on a few things. And again, if you're new to the YouTube, sometimes it's a stream, which is, you know, very involved with the comments at the beginning. This is the podcast recording. We get to some of your comments at the end of this thing so we can dive in, John. And Trey Lance, how risky is this pick? I think you and I did a video about a month ago. And, you know, my premise was Kyle Shanahan is not going to play this safe. But the truth of the matter is there's no such thing as safe in the draft. Anybody, Fields, risk, Mac Jones, risk. It's all a risk. But how risky is this? I think one thing that I don't want to say surprised me, but you start reading some draft analysis. And one thing everybody points out when they talk about the Niners pick is, and even Mel was very, I don't know if you saw Mel Kiper on Saturday, very adamant. Like, look, they just
you mean the Mel Kiper that's been on this podcast?
Yes, that Mel Kiper.
Yeah.
And he told us when he came on this
podcast,
he'd
come back.
He's a red shirt guy, basically, this year. He thinks he needs a year to develop. It's the fact they're the facts. He played one game this last year, FCS 17. Now, we bring it up. Well, Mac Jones, not that many more games. But how risky do you think, just on paper, is the pick for the 49ers?
Okay, I'm about to say something that's going to sound pretty strong, but you got to put it into context. I'm not counting the 60s, 70s, 80s, and probably like 95 on. So the last 25 years, which AKA is John Middlecoff's life, you know, from 10 on for me. I think it's the riskiest pick of my lifetime. And I think when you look back at the history of the league, and again, post Middlecoff's, you know, 10 years old and on, this is basically unprecedented. If you just go back at the decade, think about some of the number one picks, right? Baker Mayfield, which was a very risky pick, three-year starter Oklahoma, and got dramatically better every year and was fantastic. Jameis Winston, Florida State national champion. Cam Newton, really, you'd say that has some parallels, right? Booted out of Florida, JC guy, one-year starter for Auburn, national champion. And it was just
and
like
carried
shit. Carried, yeah. I mean, he did what Trey Lance kind of did with North Dakota State, but at Auburn. And he beat, you know, obviously he beat Oregon, Chip Kelly, kind of in Chip Kelly's heyday, right? Beat them kind of by himself, him and Nick Fairley, but beat Alabama, like he's... So that those are like Cam Newton was risky in the sense that he was just a 1 year starter, but I don't think it parallels Trey Lance coming from a smaller school. I also think what you have to factor into is the trade. Remember when the Rams traded up to get Jared Goff and they gave a lot, and the Eagles did too to get Wentz. Like those were two pretty. Wentz actually hadn't played that much at North Dakota State. Like he was a pretty risky pick too. And you could say that's been a little up and down.
But I will say this, like I remember coming into there, like he was somebody everybody was talking about. Now, I guess that would have been the case with Trey Lance if they had played this year too. Like we would have been talking about Trey Lance, right? But Carson was a guy that like Schefter and clearly there was league buzz.
Well, guy, he's 6'5" and he's got a hose. I mean, obviously he's an elite prospect. And Jared Goff, I know he's kind of going through a rough stretch of his career, had been a 3-year starter at Cal. Right? I mean, he had played a ton of games.
I thought... he came out after 3 years. He played as a true freshman.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He had been a three... From the day he got there, and it was... They were an explosive offense. So when you just look at the last decade, it's kind of produced a ton of quarterbacks going really high. Sam Darnold, the guy that went three, he had only started 2 years, but he'd been really productive at a major school. Do you think I'm crazy for saying it's... Again, of our adult lifetime, I don't know what happened in the 80s. But neither does anyone listening, so who gives a shit that it's the riskiest pick of the modern day NFL. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like part of like things are risky. Like once upon a time, people put a lot of money in Facebook. Like that was risky. A lot of people turned it down. Apple. To me, when you draft, you know, big upside quarterbacks early, it's kind of like a startup. You're swinging for the fence. And we've seen sometimes when you hit, it's Cam Newton's the best thing the Carolina Panthers have ever done, right? It changed their franchise. And I'm not trying to say that Trey is going to be as good as Cam. Obviously, the Niners want him to be, but they're different type players. But you get my point. Like, his upside, like Baker's upside, is limited. That's the one thing. The other part about Trey that's different from some of the guys, like Jared Goff's upside is limited. Like, Carson's wasn't. I think that's why people pull out their hair, if you have any, when you watch Carson, is because you go, God, this guy's, the ceiling is the roof of this guy. Same with Cam. Where this guy falls under the category.
Yeah, I think the other thing that contributes to the risk is that it's one thing if you draft the higher ceiling guy over the lower ceiling guy and you go, like if Justin Fields was not in this draft and they just drafted Trey Lance over Mac Jones, we go, okay. But Justin Fields was in this draft. There was another really high ceiling guy in this draft.
That's part of it, yeah.
Much more college production at a much higher level than Trey Lance. Right.
Yeah.
Like you, at the end of the day for the Niners, I do believe, it was between Trey Lance and Mac Jones. That's what I think. And I think that's what a lot of people think. I think they've kind of alluded to it. But they did, whether they really investigated, really considered Justin Fields or not, he was drafted 11th. And he's going to play in the NFL now. So does he turn out Trey Lance to be better than Mac Jones? His ceiling? We'll see. Time will tell. We think so. We think it's a worthwhile risk. But he did also go ahead of Justin Fields. Like, you know, I think Baker was kind of risky. I do think that's a pretty risky.
Well, yeah.
Point,
right? I mean, he's short. He can't run. I mean, for sure.
He also would transfer. Now, he had a lot of college production, played for Lincoln Riley.
But here's the thing. Your college where you played at in your tape is your resume. But as we've seen for the history of the league, but just, again, back to our time, really consuming the league in the 90s the last two decades, most successful quarterbacks have not come traditional started at the national power 3 years and then go on, be can't miss, like NC State, Cal, Brady went, goes sixth round, right? You just go Texas Tech, Josh Allen, Wyoming, just some recent guys. So part of basing it off of, like, Justin Fields played at Ohio State, that's great. You feel more comfortable. But as we've seen, that doesn't always, and I'm a Justin Fields guy, or I'm a BYU, he played 3 years. Just because you have a lot of, you know, playing time, production, that doesn't mean anything. It means something for the sense you feel better about when you make the decision, but it doesn't always translate, right? Yeah. Or the draft should be easy.
Yeah.
You know, because ultimately you're evaluating the human being, right? And a huge thing, they feel good about Trey. They feel good about, how could you not, about his plight to how he got here, right? Turning down, never giving up. It has parallels of some of those guys. Wyoming, how he ends up there, how Russell says, screw you to NC State. Now, he's a higher level because he ends up at Wisconsin. But you get what I'm saying. Like,
if Aaron Rodgers back at college.
The thing that kind of determines people's success at that position is, like, they get overlooked. It's not the easy path. And say what you want about Baker, even though he did transfer to Oklahoma, he had to walk on originally.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like it was tough for him. He had to earn it.
Well, I do think part of what we're talking about, there's a difference when you start getting into the context of all that stuff you're saying versus on paper. Like, I think your comment about being the riskiest pick, like, I think a lot of that holds up on paper, right? Now, I also think this is why Kyle, the Monday before the draft, still looked like Kyle Shanahan knows, just because he didn't draft Mac Jones, the battle has only just begun. Like, making this guy into an NFL starter and a high-end NFL starter, like, that work has only just begun. But I do think they might feel more comfortable about this guy than other teams have felt about other picks that we don't view as risky because of who he is, because of what they know of the way he played in college, the amount of responsibility he had on him in college, right? He played at a smaller school against lesser competition, but he might have had more required of him mentally than quarterbacks that played at bigger schools or played more games at bigger schools, right? He might have done a lot more of a certain type of skill than guys who played twice as many games at a bigger school, where they just between the play call and the snap of the ball, they all turn and look at the sideline and then look back after the coach has waved the play into them, right? Like, so he actually might have more reps doing some stuff that's going to be required of him than guys that played more games at bigger schools. My guess is when we dig in, like, to some of this stuff, I bet they feel more comfortable about him. I think they do. And we'll get into some of those things coming up. Then, like, on paper, the resume leaves you with a lot of questions.
For sure. But to me, you go back to Mahomes, this is why every individual is their own story. Like, what was happening at Texas Tech's offense, right? You look across, you throw a lot of screens. Really, what they believed in was the person and the traits. You know, some guys, like what John Dorsey loved about Baker was, like, the gusto, the bravado, the cocky, the fucking leader of just the group, and just kind of his Farvian feel at Oklahoma. Like, everyone sees and looks based on whether it's their own biases, whether it's their own belief in the way they want their players, and that's what they look for and hope that translates. And then we just – then the million other variables once you get to the league, right? Who's calling your plays? Who are you playing with? Who's your competition? Do you feel overwhelmed? Is there a negativity around you? Are the other guys in your draft class that you were passed up, are you constantly getting asked about that? Is your franchise a dumpster fire? Is your franchise solid? Well, you get to sit.
You know what?
Let me
– that's a good point. Let me interrupt you on that. If in 10 years, or let's say less, let's say in 5 years, Baker Mayfield is the starting AFC quarterback at the Pro Bowl, and, you know, they won the Super Bowl, the Browns won the Super Bowl the year before, this year they lost in the AFC Championship game. But let's say the two best quarterbacks in the league are Baker Mayfield and Trey Lance, okay? I think in some ways you could say the fact that Baker did that in some ways is overcoming more NFL odds given what happened to him once he got to Cleveland. Three coaches in 3 years? Like, Trey Lance is going to Kyle Shanahan. Baker Mayfield's on his third coach. Well, now he's, you know, now it's year four. But, like, you could argue that is longer odds than what Trey Lance potentially is about to go through, where he's going to have Kyle Shanahan. This guy had two head coaches back-to-back years who are not in the league right now.
Was Hugh Jackson
Freddie in the
kitchen
league somewhere?
Yeah, he's a tight end coach for the Giants. Yeah,
not
but I'll
play.
No, but you're skipping a guy. He had an interim coach, Greg Williams, who's viewed as toxic. That's even fucking crazier. You're right. Baker's situation to overcome it if he does get good is really impressive. You know, Trey potentially gets a very, and I'm not saying this to diminish anything that he accomplishes, he does get a soft landing spot. Right.
Absolutely. I saw he said it. Like, I'm pretty sure I don't know how deep in the depth chart he's gone, but he's like, yeah, I got a Super Bowl roster around me. Now we'll see.
Well, you and I have talked about this and just texting around, like, with the agent community and just the draft community. All three guys, Mac, Justin, and Trey, their agent, their camps, were angling. Hey, Kyle, what do you need us to do? You want us to film just dropbacks all day? They did that. Whatever
we'll send them
asked,
to your coach.
They did.
You want us to send them to John Beck? Done.
Yeah, you want us to film 8 to 5? You want us to film the night? You got a wide receiver to send us? What the fuck do you want us to do?
You want us to put a mask on him while he sleeps? You want some sleep study information?
Yeah, do you want four squares when we wipe or three? Like, we'll do whatever it takes.
Rock, paper, scissors? We're there.
They're all angling to go there. So, like, which sometimes is very rare for a team drafting really high, right?
Yeah.
You just kind of go where you go and whatever. You don't angle to go like this is. You know why? Because wouldn't you see, if you're the agent, what just happened to, like, Mahomes and Josh Allen, how financial – Josh hasn't been paid yet. I mean, it might happen this offseason, might not, but he's going to get a lot. It changes your life. Like, remember that the Chiefs used the Mahomes camp – to fend off everyone else and work with them. That's the best decision, that whole group, you know, that really, because in fairness to Patrick or even Trey, they don't truly know what's going on. Like, it is a little bit on the agent to do whatever they say, get your guy there, give yourself the best long-term return on investment, which means playing the best / better you play, more you win, more money you make.
Right, right. And don't worry about getting drafted 7th instead of 10th.
Yeah, I do think you bring up a fair point. It is, Baker probably doesn't quite get the credit for just, those first 2 years were a joke.
And no, I give him a ton of credit. I give Stefanski a ton of credit. And we can find a lot of examples of that, right? Like, again, now we're talking about something different than the draft pick. But, I mean, the fact that Steve Young had success in his career, given what a shit show, how awful his career started in Tampa. They bring him in. Then they draft Vinny Testaverde. Then they try to trade him to the St. Louis Cardinals, who suck. And he's like, I'm not going there. Send me somewhere else. Gets to the Niners. And even then, it's like, he's on the Niners, but he's trying to get himself traded, basically, because Joe's not going. I mean, we could. But to you're talking about draft day, the unknown risk at the price they paid, at where they drafted him. I would venture to guess that if we went through the production historically among top three picks, this has got to be on the lower end of the spectrum.
Totally agree. You know, Guy, really quick before we read the ad, I just want to tell a story that I heard the other day, and Michael Lombardi on his podcast the last couple weeks, he was the lowest level guy on the Niner staff in like 86, 87, 88. And he said Bill Walsh sends him to get all the coaches and they have a coaches only meeting with Bill leading it. And he just said, show of hands, who thinks we should trade a 4th round pick, it's weird, at the time in the 80s, like, and $1 million. Like, I think money for a long period of time in pro sports was more valuable than picks. You'd get laughed at now, right?
For Steve Young.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, money, everyone has money now. Like, the picks are what's valuable.
Right.
But the point was, like, in the room was Holmgren, Denny Green. Like, you started listing some of these names. Like, God damn, the staff was fucking loaded, obviously. I mean, they were, like, in the peak of their power dynasty. Not one person raised their hand. And he said, well, part of it wasn't even an anti-Steve. He's like, at the time, we had Joe fucking Montana on our team. But Bill stormed out of the room, mad, made the trade anyway. And his point was, part of it, just any young player in football, like, everyone viewed Steve Young as, like, toxic or whatever in Tampa. But it was like Bill could see, and a lot of guys in Trey Lance's situation historically in the draft end up in a shitty spot. Like, yeah. He really is lucky that being such a risky pick that – and I'm not lucky because he deserved it if he's a smart guy and his talent, but that team believed in him, right? Even if it just, what if the Jets would have loved him? Like, I would much rather go to San Francisco than the Jets.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, Zach Wilson.
Jags.
And
Trey Lance better? If you said, Trey, you can be the number one pick, which would you choose?
Yeah, I mean, I think if all three of those quarterbacks that went 1, 2, 3, all their camps would rather have their guy going to San Francisco.
I could see Trevor Lawrence based on geography.
I could see it.
But, yeah, I mean, I think one of the deals with Steve is that the Buccaneers owner at the time was just a sucker for someone to give him some money.
Yeah.
The fact that the Niners threw in money basically bought Steve Young from him.
Now, $1 million probably in like 86 or whatever was probably a lot more money than it even sounds like now, but still.
Yeah, but the Niners, but that was part of the way the Niners operated at the time.
Yeah, they operate like the Yankees.
You know? Okay, John, before we move on, let's tell the people about sponsor that we love, sponsor that we wear, sponsor that many of you have DM'd us on Instagram and shown us that you are supporting as well, American Giant, American-Giant.com. Use the promo code HAM. Go to American-Giant.com. Use the promo code HAM. American made, made to last. What's better?
How do you beat that guy? American made. Something that can't be said. Everything gets made in America. And I have multiple t-shirts. They're in the wash. I know you do too. It's Sunday's wash day. I love my V-necks. Also, guy, the hoodie. This is, would you say, like their flagship product?
Yeah, the classic hoodie? Full zip hoodie is the, I think, the thing they kind of put themselves on the map with.
You have a black one too, right?
No, I've got like a storm gray, I think is what it is. I like that color. Recommend.
We both got hoodies. Can't recommend it enough. American made. Support them. Obviously, you're supporting us by just going to American-Giant.com. Promo code HAM. Get yourself a little discount, a little 20% or
15%,
a little high. But go do it right now. American-Giant.com. Promo code HAM.
I got the three-pack of t-shirts, which they're just, if you... I don't know if sturdy is the word. Like, it's soft. You can lounge, but it's also just, you can feel it. It's really good quality. I go with the crew neck because I'm always wearing two t-shirts, John, down
here. I got a little taco meat, too. I got a little taco meat. No hair on my head. But.
You try not to gross everybody out when I'm walking
down. That's my look. That's a good look, guy. The older you get.
Only with the gold chain, though. Everything's made in North Carolina. Get it right now. They actually got a shop if you're in San Francisco. If you're in the Bay Area, they got a shop over on Chestnut Street where it's always popping. But just go to the website, American-Giant.com. Use the promo code HAM. Great products. We appreciate their support. We appreciate your support. Go get it.
ButcherBox.com/ham and another special deal. Free for a year. You get salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips in every order for a year, plus an additional $20 off right now at ButcherBox.com/ham. Been telling you about it for years. Been eating it. 4 years on a regular basis. Easily find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork raised crate-free and wild-caught seafood. Always be prepared with meat in the freezer when you get butcherbox.com/ham delivered right to your doorstep with free shipping. ButcherBox is offering you free for a year plus an additional $20 off either salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips in every order for free. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ham and use the code HAM to choose your free offer for a year plus get $20 off your first order.
What's up, everybody? It's your old friend, John Middlecoff. I'm here to tell you about our friends at Game Time. Here's what I need you to do. Go to your smartphone, download a little app called Game Time. Baseball season's in full swing. Oracle Park. Been there a million times. Never doesn't live up to the hype. Go get yourself some garlic fries, a brewski, maybe some ice cream. They have very good Ghirardelli ice cream there. And when you do that, promo code HAM. So download the Game Time app, your first pair of tickets, promo code HAM, H-A-M, save $20. The A's only going to be in the Bay Area for the rest of this season. You probably can basically go for free. Just buy a pair of tickets to any baseball game. They also have comedy shows if you want to check one of those out, or concerts. Game Time app, promo code HAM. Save yourself $20. We don't even need a thank you. Just hammer that promo code.
How about this conversation, John? I saw, and there's a couple angles to this, but you and I started talking about this just a little bit off the, what do we call it? Do we call it off air now? I mean, off air is such an old... We're not on air.
Off I don't like anything that the off stream used to talk about. Yeah. Off in normal. We just started talking about it over text.
We offlined this conversation.
Yeah. We offlined. I like that. I like offline.
Yeah. We were offline on Saturday and right before we mainline. But look at this. So Florio tweeted, here's something on which Chris Sims and I agree. You can't sit Trey Lance for a year when he's just basically sat out for a year. You agree with that?
Really quick, did you see the reason, one of the biggest reasons he played in the one-off game was because at that level to like validate those guys' scholarships, like he actually did all these other guys on the team a solid. He did not need to play in the game. You know, they had that one-off game against him.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm saying like his playing in the game had something to do with getting guys scholarships verified or something. I don't know.
I remember hearing that it, like part of it was like getting other guys seen. Part
yeah,
of it,
it had something to do with the scholarships is okay. What I read. I'm going to have to do more digging on that.
Got it.
Listen, you know where I stand. And I'll give you credit. I thought you put it really well last week. I would rather see a rookie on a training wheel offense and ease your way in and getting playing time than just sitting. And I've heard Carson Palmer talk about this, and he's kind of the last of a, you know, even though he's only like 40 years old, but like when he came in the league, like that 01, 02, maybe even up to like 03, 04 was still the, you had to earn your stripes. You sit behind and you learn. That is fucking thrown out the window this decade. And I'm a big believer.
Mahomes did do it.
Throw it out the window. He was rare because he went to a kick-ass team who I saw Jeff Schwartz tweeted out earlier today. Since Andy Reid has been with the Chiefs, they've hit the over every single year.
Does that mean bet the over, or is everyone going to bet the over this year? I don't know what their number is. This will be a podcast topic, I'm sure.
I could see their number being like 12.5 with the 17th game. Gets a little risky. But the point is, not many rookie quarterbacks, highly drafted guys, have ever gone to a team consistently winning 11 to 13 games a year.
Yeah.
That's kind of a one-off situation that I believe, I'm a Cal Poly, we learn by doing. I do think you benefit more. Now, one thing we talked about, and you showed me a tweet or someone else had said about packages for him.
It was somebody had that good idea, like they compared it a little bit to the Saints. I mean, I would say the Niners did it with Colin initially, right?
Before I got to the Eagles, Vic's first year with the Eagles, they used some plays for him with Donovan McNabb. Like he was, right. They had packages for him. Now, it's a little different, but coming out of prison, getting drafted third overall, but he just needed his legs under him. But I do think you've seen packages for players.
I'm sorry, you're just clarifying there's a difference between coming from prison and getting drafted third overall?
He had to like get his legs back under him. Yeah.
I thank you for making that distinction.
I'm a big Michael Vick guy.
No, I know. But you're right. That's a unique spot in that you're trying to get him up. This guy can be an NFL starter. You knew that.
Right? Yeah.
But the other thing was you had Donovan McNabb.
Next year, my first year there, Kevin Cobb was a starter. Michael Vick just came in because he got hurt. He got a concussion. Mike took the job and never left.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times you come in with a plan and the first game of the season, Clay Matthews concussed Kevin and the rest is history. Where just last year, for example, I think happens in football more than the other two sports because the injury element happens so quick. Last year, Tyrod Taylor. Now, I mean, it's not a normal injury, but something happens. Herbert came in. It was so clear after that week that are like, I don't give a shit what they say, even if Tyrod, that his lung, he was able to play next week. You deserve to get fired if you put Tyrod Taylor after just his first game against the Chiefs, which was week two. That sometimes all it takes is even if he gets some snaps or packages or a series and Jimmy's struggling, like you could know right away. But you never know in football until you play in games.
Well,
that's
Mike,
the thing.
Mike Tyson's line, famous. Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face, punched in the mouth. I tend to think a lot of times. Now, we'll spend a lot of time talking about all these scenarios.
Do you think with the addition of MMA, we could say, or kick to the leg?
Yeah.
I mean,
everyone's got a plan till their fibula snaps.
Yeah.
But I think we'll spend a lot of time talking about this because you have to have a plan. But these things tend to take care of themselves.
But we know their plan right now, right? It's Jimmy's a starter. But to me, the question is, like, is Trey the backup? Or is Trey like Sudfeld or another guy the backup and he's just working with the young guys?
Well,
because this guy's the backup, right?
Yeah, I mean, look at what happened last year, the way we talked about Jordan Love when he was not the backup.
But do you remember when Carson Wentz was drafted? Little similar situation. Carson, for like a senior, hadn't started that many games. He'd only been a couple year starter,
right?
And he had broke his thumb his senior year. The plan, Carson was the third string quarterback because they had a big picture. They had Sam Bradford. Third-string quarterback. Then Teddy's leg falls off. They flip Bradford. And maybe this is part of just those first couple weeks of training camp. They're like, God, Carson is just sweet. Carson started week one. My ultimate point here is plans change in National Football League at rapid speed.
They could change if one guy starts, the other guy just gets a package. But I think in the scenario we're talking about,
where it is going to be difficult. And I saw Kyle said this, and you and I talked about this last week when you asked me, I think you asked the question, like, do you think Trey Lance can beat Jimmy out? It's the odds are stacked against him based on the most
week one.
Yeah, just can he, before the season starts, overcome the massive head start that Jimmy Garoppolo has based on experience, based on knowledge of the offense, based on
playing in the NFL
with teammates. Yeah, based on playing the NFL, based on, you know what, something we don't talk a lot about. Jimmy Garoppolo, I would say, absolutely has a chip on his shoulder. So, you know, he's got a lot to prove. It's just going to be, he should.
Does he?
Well, I mean, he should. I don't know if he does or not, I guess, but he should based on what's going on around him right now. And it's just going to be hard. Now, I think back to the Florio point, we talk about, you know, the Saints. What would your plan be? That's what we're talking about. Not how will this play out. What would your plan be if Jimmy Garoppolo is your starter week one? I like this idea of this guy's not played for 2 years. Let's get his feet wet. Let's do things with him. And let's just see. We saw it with Colin. Not a ton. I think you can do more with Trey Lance.
Do you remember Colin's rookie year?
I remember Colin running some packages, not throwing the ball a ton.
I have to go back and look at the stats. I know he played, but it felt like a – now, granted, that was Harbaugh's first year, right?
I think it was Harbaugh's first year. They were a little resistant to, you know, Alex had carried the team. Well, I guess it was the year prior, right, to 12.
Oh, you're right. Alex had played a year.
It was 11. He came in 11.
Yeah, he came in Harbaugh's first year. They drafted a quarterback.
So it really was year two that they used him in the packages.
To start the season, and then he ended up starting when Alex got hurt.
Looking at it here, he played in 3 games as a rookie. But 12 was really when they started, I think, mixing him in a little bit more.
I do think Colin, for example, was much more of a project as a passer. Because let's face it, most people listening to this, most people that talk still to this day about Kaepernick, fucking watched 10 minutes of Nevada game his entire career. You and I, we live the WAC diehards.
He was the old WAC, baby.
He was an elite WAC player, but as a passer, he was a major work in progress. Like, to me, he was a true redshirt guy who went early in the second round, right?
Yeah. Trey Lance, I think, you and I have talked about this throughout the last month. For me, there's not a comparison to Trey Lance's passing ability coming into the NFL. I think he throws with more touch, more complete player coming in. And again, he went third, and Colin, you know, now
Colin, was much faster, even though I think they run on time speed pretty similar. I feel Colin's much more of a breakaway hitter.
Would
right?
Kaepernick have gone in the second round in 2021?
Zero chance. He goes like, top 15.
Yeah. And he doesn't get a year and a half, basically, to redshirt, in all likelihood. Maybe he would have. I don't know.
He had played a lot. I mean, he had dominated.
In college. Yes, he had played a lot of college football.
How's Kaepernick not a top 10 pick? The equivalent now.
Well, I mean, Justin Fields wasn't.
Yeah, so you never know.
Justin Fields was a better prospect.
You're right. So, I mean, top 20 pick. He's getting drafted high.
Yeah. So, but in any event, this feels right to me. Like, now, if Trey Lance comes in and takes Jimmy's job, well, then that's what he did. And great.
Well, technically, he just got the playbook on, like, Saturday from Scangarillo, you know?
Technically, he started been running plays since John Beck started putting him in the playbook a month and a half.
I mean, like, legitimately, I think they said Kyle didn't know if or not. I'm going to assume he showed up Saturday. They just spent some time. Like, it's kind of starting now to, like, wow, this is no longer just running plays with John Beck. This is now, like, right. I'm eventually going to get on this field pretty soon. These guys are going to.
You agree, though, he's going to be hard-pressed to catch up by week one for a team trying to win. That's the other thing. Like, this is a team that wants to win week one.
I just had the thought yesterday, just walking around, just kind of hit me, like, it's probably pretty exhilarating for him right now. A lot's coming at him fast because the pressure of being the pick, just the play calls. It is going to be very, very difficult. We'll have to see. I mean, do the Niners team, do they actually have an OTA? Because if they don't, I'll say it'll be basically impossible for him to start week one.
Is he going
to
play four quarters of three preseason games?
What?
Is he going to play like three quarters of three preseason games? What are they going to do?
I would imagine he gets a lot of run in preseason games. Or do you?
Potentially.
That's kind of.
I don't know. I mean,
you want him out there with backup offensive lineman?
You want him out there?
He's going to play.
So but the point is, I like this. I like the idea of let's find ways to mix him in, because this is the one thing you would say that's easy about it is he does do things that Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't do. It's easy to justify. But how do you do it when you're also you think you're a Super Bowl contender, right? That makes it a little difficult, I would say, when Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't played a lot of football, John, the last year and a half.
Listen, I think we saw it with Wiseman. Obviously, the Niners on paper are better than the Warriors on paper heading into the season. First, you got to think big picture, you know? You got to think like it's all about Trey Lance. Like, I don't think the Warriors did a great job. I mean, they've even admitted it, like with James Wiseman, right? They just yanked him around. It's different in basketball because everyone plays, but my point is, you do whatever's best for the big picture of this guy. The secondary, to me, is like Super Bowl contender. I mean, they've made the playoffs once in 4 years. Like,
I'm with you.
Like, I think that gets a little overhyped.
That's just the way they think of themselves. Right?
Well, I know.
But this is not the same roster.
To me, it's like be a wild card contender. That's good.
Yeah. Did you see, by the way, I got to go back and double check. I saw during the NFL draft coverage, I just started, you know, everything we do now, we just think of like stream schedules. The NFL schedule release show is coming up on May 12th. Is that right? For 2021? Is this? Yeah, May 12th. It's a Wednesday at 5 p.m., John, is the NFL schedule release show. So you can go ahead and I think you know where you're going to find Haberman and Middlecoff.
Yeah, we'll have text.
On May 12th. Week one, John. Anyway,
I guess the men's money game in El Macero is going to take a backseat.
Oh, well, you know,
no,
I'm sure those guys, maybe they might, you know, the way the power of the league, they might need to move that game to Thursday. But you don't think all those guys want to get home and watch the schedule release with the rest of us?
You could argue you could stretch a schedule release over like 2 weeks, like every division. Yeah. One division
AFC North.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't make fun, but it is just incredible. We already know all the games they're going to play. It's just about, you know, I just want to know about body clocks. This is about figuring out the body clocks.
You are right. It's not like, well, who's playing who? You know exactly who everyone's playing. Literally every game. Whole man away, too. Games. You're not even guessing, like, I wonder where the Packer game's going to be. No, you know where the game is. You're just wondering, like, what week?
Well, but to me,
Monday night?
Yeah, that's the fun part to me is the primetime games.
Yeah. What team got primetime? What team got? We don't get any respect. Yeah.
You say they suck, but the Browns got 5 primetime games. It's America's team.
Win, win, loss, win, win.
How's everybody winning 75%?
Body clock game, loss. London
Again,
game, that's going to throw them off, loss. That is.
We're all in.
The streamer's dream.
I mean, Mad Dog, Russo and the Mad Dog used to do it for baseball schedule releases.
Oh, my God.
So. Another thing about Trey Lance I want to talk about. I've watched a couple of his talks, you know, Zooms. I watched his 49ers.com interview. I think one thing, because I've had a few people text me this or DM me this, and, you never quite know when you hear that a guy's really smart, where that comes from, why people think that, whether it's just a thing people say or whether it's real. One of the smartest guys I've ever talked to. Yeah, you know, you hear that a lot. You really don't know when it's real and when it's just kind of a half-baked opinion. You've talked to a lot of people about Trey Lance. I've talked to several people about Trey Lance, people that know. And I do think from everything I've heard, it's really real with him. And it's not just based on the offense that he ran, the amount of responsibility, although that's a big part of it, the amount of responsibility he had in college. I don't know how you, as a scout, tried to measure aptitude. It's hard until you really get around somebody, understand their tendencies. Sometimes you think somebody's dumb, but their brain just works differently. They're good at other things. They're weak at some spots. So it's hard to really, really, truly know until you get to know somebody. But I know one thing that when I talk to people, when you ask me, hey, what's that guy like? When I ask somebody, what's that guy like? I think one of the highest compliments from this standpoint you could pay is that somebody's sharp. And I do think one of a few things, I think you can overvalue watching somebody do an interview. I think people can trick you. And again, different people's brains work differently. Not interviewing well does not mean you're not sharp.
No.
Being able to interview well does not mean that you are sharp. So I don't want to overemphasize this because, again, my core belief on this comes from people
that evaluated Trey Lance, and you know a lot of them, that say all that stuff about him is really real, that he's a high aptitude guy. I think one thing that impressed me watching him do an interview was, and maybe they prepped him for this, maybe he's ready for it, but it's hard to fake when you're in the stadium for the first time. It's a whirlwind. And he got asked about Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think, I would even say, if I were in his shoes, if I were 20 years old and I just got drafted and I got asked about Jimmy, I'd try to keep my answer to 8 seconds. Keep it short. Make sure I didn't say anything wrong. And he just looked very comfortable. I thought he sounded very clear-minded. He had something to say. It was never even looked like he was going to stray from anything that could get uncomfortable, but it didn't feel like it was what he had been coached to do. I just think he had a very clear idea of where he fits in, how he fits in, what his role is, what Jimmy's role is. Very comfortable with it. Again, I don't want to overemphasize that part of it. This is more about what they think. But I do think that's a real, real part of this with him, that I think we talk so much about his physical skills, but the Niners would not have been comfortable drafting him in this spot. I think we can say this definitively. Kyle Shanahan would not have been comfortable if he didn't think he was advanced mentally in terms of handling everything.
Yeah, I mean, when I scouted, the one thing I learned, and listen, I treat it like I did before I ever got into scouting, and definitely since. Like, I'm an instinct gut guy. Like, I got to spend time around somebody. If I just spend some time around guy, like, the guys that when I was with Fresno State or when I was with the Eagles, I was around the team every day. So you just knew I could give you an incredible scouting report on every guy on our team. Just eating with them, spending time, you just around them. Whether it be, you know, Davante Adams, I guess I wasn't around Davante Adams, but hearing things about him and then seeing his success in the NFL doesn't surprise me. Derek Carr, I would have told you he's better than I probably thought he would have been in the NFL, but I would have said he's going to be a longtime pro. Right, Robbie Rouse, the guy that's now a coach. Kenny Wiggins, who's still in the league. And then guys like on our team, whether it's Shady McCoy or Brent Celek, like there were just certain guys, Jason Kelsey, that their personalities just, you're like, you get it. But you don't, and the hard part about the NFL, you gather a bunch of information in the fall. You don't get to spend any time around them as a scout. So you're just basing it off, especially even once the combine happens, it's like test scores and what they're telling you. When I say test scores, I'm talking Wonderlic test scores. Or what their GPA is. The one thing I learned in the pros, who gives a shit what their GPA is? If you have a low GPA, it does not mean you're a bad football intellect. And because you have a high GPA, it does not mean you're a bad intellect, period. 100%. It's the most overrated thing in America.
Well, it's just, but there's no continuity to the context of one 4.1 and one 3.1 and one 2.0 and one.
Well, I mean, for example, it took Jason Kidd like to hit the minimum SAT score to get into Cal like 5 different times to take it. And who knows if it was him taking it the whole time. And he's one of the smartest basketball players in the history of the sport. Right. And in football, you often get some of these guys that are like 4.0 students. You're like, God, this guy plays kind of dumb. And you get vice versa. You get, yeah, this guy's a terrible student, but he's our smartest football player. You have to take it independently for what it is. To me, here's the key is the time you get. And back to what I said, I always felt very comfortable. If I'm going to say, like, go to bat for someone, a friend, you, a colleague, a business partner, someone in my life, you feel comfortable doing it when you know them really well. Right. And that's the hard part about the scouting process is you don't really get that much time. I'd argue this year, less than ever. I mean, I'm watching like Andy Reid talk about the dude they drafted in the second round. He's like, yeah, we spent a lot of time on Zoom with him. Like, that's not that much. Even if you spend 5 hours on Zoom, like, that's not that much. It's not in person. I can see the in-person thing really throwing people off. That's where the Niners, I think they doubled down when they traded up. They would say, listen, if we needed to get a quarterback, we overpaid. That extra first round was for the peace of mind, us getting to spend time around them without having to fake it, right, or worry about it. And we felt better about the guy. But I don't think you know that. You have an idea. You hear all these good things. But until you actually put your arm around him, spend some time, maybe, who knows? If I was them, I would have broke the rules. I don't know if you were allowed to go to dinner or not. Like, we're going to dinner. Like, if I'm in Fargo, he's in Fargo. Like, we're spending time that night. Now, I think a lot of rules were broken just in the NFL this year. They had to be. Because how could any team feel comfortable with most of these guys without – because they always do, guy. Always. Years in Philly, I was in charge of picking them up, bringing the top 30 visits. You go to dinner, you pick up a couple position coaches. You just spend time with the human. You're taking notes and when the guy's not looking, like, kind of an asshole. Or like, God, this guy's an awesome guy. He's being nice to the waitress. That's a big deal, right? You just want to see how they just kind of act – they're always going to act well around a nobody. They, you know, they stand up straight when the head coach walks in.
They're How do they act always around act like well around a nobody? You're saying,
yeah, or they just act like themselves around a nobody.
Yeah,
you hear constant stories about the guys driving people to airports, like, oh, I can fucking relax now. Can't wait to get home and get weight. They just let down their guard.
Yeah, I work for the
team.
But
a high level guy is always a high level guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard a story once about a guy on the way to the airport saying something that was like, did you really just say that? Like, something about drugs and getting home and like, but everyone loved it.
Hey, dude,
this showed up in a suit.
This isn't the cab driver driving you to the airport.
But it's hard. You have to realize you're dealing with very, very young people, right?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's difficult. It's a difficult, the whole situation is difficult with any player, let alone this guy. Who the number one thing I've heard is his testing, all the psychological testing that all these teams have done, and all the tests that he's taken, people felt he was really, really smart.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. And like, the words I've heard of not like smart. It's like, very smart. This is me being very smart. I put the word very in front of smart, and that means very smart. But we're talking about, you use the word like advanced intellect, and I think this goes back to what we talked about earlier in terms of how risky this pick is. It's risky because picks are risky. I think they feel extremely comfortable with the person they just drafted. Extremely comfortable with the person they just drafted. And that's why maybe to them, it feels like the risk that all picks feel like. It still has to happen. But I don't think they have any questions about the guy that they're getting and his, you know, whatever you want to call it, mental capacity, whatever. I think, and I've watched him, I get it. Like when I watch some of these things, you know, and you know, I've talked about this. I try not to put too much stock in it because I think there's so many examples out there now. You can find videos of 10 billion interviews. It's easy to figure out what it's supposed to look like and just emulate what it's supposed to look like. So that's why I don't put too much stock in.
Russillo had a hilarious bit on his podcast last week about every tech CEO you see on TV all use the same fucking lingo. I mean, half of them probably don't even know what they're talking about. Onboarding. I mean, just all the, you know, it's just all the three or four go-to terms that they all think makes themselves smart. It's like, no, you got a great idea. You made $800 million. Just tip your hat. Like, hey, we respect it. But let's not, you guys aren't all the smartest people in the fucking room, right? But they're regurgitating what Steve Jobs once said, and then Zuckerberg does it, and then every single, like, yeah, you made up Bumble. You made a billion. Like, hats off to you. You're not some fucking genius. People like getting laid. You know, it's a novel concept. You were smart to do it. I give you credit for doing it, but it doesn't mean you're Albert Einstein, right? And I think a lot of people always think they want to sound really smart, and you see it with players a lot. Like, hey, you know, probably just stop talking. I can think of one, even though I like the guy, so I'm not in a different sport. He talks a lot, and I think he thinks he's a little smarter than he is sometimes. You just talk and talk and talk. It's like, you know, put on the brakes.
Yeah, yeah. There's a game. There's always a game that is being played that you should just be aware of as you're observing all of this stuff, I would say, right? That's a part of it. And, you know, I don't get the impression he's playing a game. I think he's being himself, and the fact that he's 20 years old and is doing that stuff is impressive.
Which is why in the draft process, it's easier when a guy has a flawless record. Like he's been a high character kid, never been in trouble. And you're just like, okay, we're getting for what he is.
Yeah.
I think where it gets difficult is when you meet a character guy or someone that has something negative about him. And then you see the opposite side and you go, what is it? Right. Then
is the whole thing built on a lie?
Or is like the people telling you all the negative stuff, are they wrong? Like, is this guy really just kind of a diamond? He's actually a good person.
Yeah.
And I think it gets back to, I put it on my Instagram story the other day. I was watching the Colts. They do an incredible show leading up to the draft. And Frank Reich just had a great point. He's like, listen, you know, and I think most people view the Colts as like, they ain't taking risky guys. That's not their deal. And he's like, I'll take a risky guy. Like, you bring me one. But he's like, why are we overthinking it here? Aren't there enough guys in this draft? Because there are in every draft. Good players are good guys. Like, why don't we just lean that? And more often than not, we're going to be right. And we don't have to worry about getting a turd. And what makes it easy with Trey, and I think all these quarterbacks, is they were all like, what was the biggest negative on the five? Like, Zach was, you know, kind of a dick his freshman year.
Yeah, I mean, 18 years old. Yeah, Max DUI probably, right?
Max got a DUI.
That's probably if we were going to, of all the issues, if we just
that's the worst thing.
The issues, like, that's, I don't even know if there were other issues beyond that.
No, well, because they were Justin like Fields, Trey and Trevor Lawrence were flawless. Yeah.
It was more about they didn't play anybody, or he didn't play that many games, or right. It was more about all that.
But Max off the field was so good. People were like, you know, it was his freshman year. He's an idiot.
Yeah, the quotes from his teammates about him, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I think it's difficult at quarterback when there are some questions. And clearly with Kyle, to me, he would have run. Like, Kyle's not messing with a question mark at quarterback. Any character stuff, any... I'm not even just talking the intelligence. I'm just talking the way you carry it. Like, that clearly matters to him, right? Because we were saying the whole time leading up, they're going to end up with Mac Jones because that's the type player, like Kirk Cousins. What I think he's really saying is, I want Kirk Cousins where I don't ever have to... I never want to wake up one day and be like, 25 masseuses have said I sexually... Like, the last thing you ever have to worry about Kirk Cousins is ever coming on the ticker, right? And Matt Ryan, Matt Schaub, like, that's ultimately what he's looking for. We see with Trey Lance, he's open to more physical, different stuff. Yeah. He just doesn't want... And I don't blame him. I would never, ever want to have a quarterback... Where that guy might be a troublemaker. That'd be the biggest headache possible that it's easy to avoid.
It's funny because when he says Drew Brees and Lamar Jackson, we go, you know, the thrower and the runner. But they both fit that. Lamar and Drew Brees fit that category too. You don't worry about them at all. Elite workers.
I think Lamar separated from the pack of like, hey, Baker, you're arguing. And Lamar over here is balling. Remember a couple years ago? And he's like, yeah, man, I fucked up. Nobody cares. Work harder. He's the one that made that popular.
Yeah.
Baker's like screaming at reporters like, get out of here, Tony. You know, it's like, oh, my God, calm down.
All right, John, should we tell the people about the NetSuite before we get to Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, yeah, we should. Yeah,
YouTube comments, a lot of people asking about the Aaron Rodgers. If you're still running your business on QuickBooks, you're really running your business on quicksand. The bigger your company grows, the faster you sink with outdated software that just can't keep up. You don't have to spend time dealing with the manual processes, multiple systems, delays, scrambling to get the numbers you need. It's time to get on solid ground, and you do that at netsuite.com/ham. netsuite.com/ham.
Yep, NetSuite helps you automate your key business processes and close your books in a fraction of the time. Think days, not weeks. 93% of surveyed organizations increased visibility and control over their business since making the switch from QuickBooks to NetSuite. You like you said, you want to go here or do you want to go here? You want to be with the best. That's where NetSuite, modern times, let's get it. Let's do it. Financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need to grow all in one place for all small business owners right here.
NetSuite.com/ham. Right now, NetSuite offering a one-of-a-kind financing program only for those ready to graduate from QuickBooks. Step up. Head to NetSuite.com/ham. That's NetSuite. Special financing for you graduates at NetSuite.com/ham. That's NetSuite.com/ham.
I got one for you really quick, guy, on NetSuite. Imagine if you work for a company and you know they use QuickBooks and you want to, like, you know, in Corona times, you want to separate yourself. Tell your boss this. Tell the owner this. Hey, I got one for you. You want to upgrade? Yeah. Ham's got us covered. NetSuite.com/ham.
Impress your boss. If you are the boss, impress yourself and impress everybody else. Make your business better.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Aaron Rodgers, we've had this offseason, correct me if I'm missing somebody, we've had three premium quarterbacks either to different degrees try to get traded. Russell Wilson.
Three of the top five.
Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
What would have happened with Deshaun? Hard to know now because his situation got complicated off the field.
But honestly, impossible to know. Like, would he have been traded? Is Trey Lance on the Niners?
And could it still happen? We'll see. But with Russell and I'll use Aaron as a tiebreaker. With Russell, Seahawks basically, whatever they did behind the scenes, we don't really know. They played it straight. Texans, it was pretty clear where the public sentiment was. It was all on Deshaun's side.
It felt like Russell's was a little more of a plea of just, please listen to me. Like, I just want to be listened to
right.
a little bit. Yep. He felt very disrespected from their ears. Like, they didn't listen. They just talked. And it did feel like, okay, and they went out and were very aggressive, and they calmed the storm fast.
With
right?
Yeah. Yeah. With Aaron, this thing blew up on Thursday. Friday, Saturday. Here we are now, Sunday. Where do we think this
is going? He added to it at the Kentucky Derby, I think. Well,
yeah, he told Tirico, it's unfortunate that all this came out.
Like, Aaron, you fucking leaked it.
As people who've been on Aaron's side, like, it's the Packers handled this.
I support
well
Aaron on this, but let's just call a spade, Aaron. I mean, you and your camp leaked that you wanted to be traded. Now, I don't know. To me, the headliner of this whole thing is now he wants the general manager fired. That's a report from Charles Robinson, who's, you know, a legitimate NFL reporter. If you're leaking that, like, that's a pretty bold leak. I was thinking about this earlier today of just star players who get very sensitive. And we have a lot in pro sports, especially in baseball and basketball. I don't remember, correct me if I'm wrong, in recent memory, he needs to get fired non-coach. Like, that's a bold, like, fuck you.
Right? Yeah, was it a story that, like, he wants McCarthy fired?
Yeah,
I mean, we knew he did.
Probably.
But I don't remember if he was, like, quite in this way.
I feel like he did a more kick him when he was down, called him, like, a dumb meathead at post the fact.
Yeah.
Which, but at the same time, it's what he thinks. Who knows if he's even wrong? But, like, legitimately, a story comes out. It feels like it's coming from his camp. Reporters hate when I source guess, but, I mean, where are you getting that? If he wants him fired, if you're going to report that, it has to come from an Aaron Rodgers camp.
Did Gutekunst leak that?
Yeah, probably not. That's a bold thing to say, right? You want the general manager fired?
Yeah. Especially
on a team that's run by a general manager.
On a team that's run by a general manager, and, you know, we can talk about whether or not they made a mistake when they drafted a quarterback in the first round last year. But, I mean, you can't argue that this team's been really competitive. Aaron's a big part of that. Aaron's the main part of it, right? But it's not like this team has been poorly constructed. You would say, again, it's hard to separate because Aaron's really good. But I think they made a good head coaching hire, I think. Well, again, hard to separate Matt LaFleur from Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, he's won 26 games.
You would say they've done a lot of things really well. They're a no-fluff organization. I think, you know, historically, they're a model organization. Whether they're the model now, you wouldn't say they're the model now. But they're not the Texans.
They're a top five NFL organization.
Yeah, they're on the line of model. You're like, yes, you would do well. So, now again, a lot of things happen behind the scenes. We've been in the situation. Everybody listening or watching has been in the situation where people outside of your place of business don't know what goes on inside your place of business. So, who knows? But I thought Gutekunst, I saw it because you posted. Gutekunst was asked. Gutekunst handled it really well. Like, they are not going scorched earth. They are trying to, and the Texans, remember when David Culley, and it was like, oh, he's on our team right now. Like, the Texans, who was in charge? Who's speaking for the team? There was no doubt who speaks for the Packers.
Aaron is in a different universe than Deshaun Watson, though, right?
Yeah, but Deshaun's still big enough that you guys should all be on the same page. What is our messaging going to be? Who speaks for our organization? So, to me, the Packers are operating, and obviously this is what they want to be. They're operating like a team that's going to try and have Aaron Rodgers be their quarterback this year, right?
Yet, I don't really know what he can do moving forward besides just if these leaks keep coming, then it'll show like he's pretty adamant he's trying to get out there. But unless he doesn't show up, does it make any sense for them to trade him? Because you and I talked last week or during our streams and just the whole time as the story was breaking, Okay, let's say the Niners are out. They're just all in on Trey Lance. The two teams on his list, I think one thing that's been powerful about Russell and definitely Aaron is like lists. I guess Russell's legitimately came from his lawyer.
Yeah, you're right.
Agent.
The lists do change it.
Aaron's, I don't know if it came from Aaron, but it definitely feels like it did. The Raiders, the Broncos, and the Niners, that the moment you trade him to the Broncos or the Raiders, their picks the next couple years, if you get three first-round picks, you have to go, they're probably going to all be 25 or more. And I just don't think you can do that. And that's why we did a video about Derek Carr would be the only guy that would make some sense if you get two ones. And Derek, that gives you a quarterback who's friends with your star receiver, who can enable you to probably still get to the playoffs.
Fits with your offense and your coach and is good.
Yeah, so but trading to the Broncos to me makes no sense unless you think Jordan Love's going to be a star. And I don't know, even if the most bullish people, which you'd say were Gutekunst and LaFleur on Jordan Love, could feel comfortable about that right now.
Considering he wasn't their backup last year and, you know, considering it's going to be hard to get preseason OTA work this year.
Well, let's say I traded
Did they draft
Aaron
him because
Rodgers.
They loved him or just because he was the highest guy on their board?
I think it was a combination of highest guy on the board, physical upside, and Aaron trending the wrong way. Which it wasn't even just LaFleur's first year, where I know they won 13 games, but he didn't look right. It was the previous year he'd been kind of off. So they shorted him. They shorted Aaron Rodgers the stock, and he boomed AMC or GME. They were like roaring. Aaron's like roaring kitty. He's like, okay, you're going to short me? We're going to quadruple down on Reddit, and I'm going to turn into this the MVP of the league. Here's the problem, though. So the Broncos idea. So I traded the Broncos, let's say, for 3 ones and a two. Well, what if Jordan Love sucks? And then those picks are all like, 1 year they make the Super Bowl. Like, what if those picks are terrible? I'm fired if I'm Gutekunst. And LaFleur, my career gets derailed. I just don't think you can go with Jordan Love. He's, even if you liked him, it's too big of a risk for your careers, both guys.
Yeah.
Even if Rodgers
knowing
makes it
the
set,
picks, I knowing think that I, the picks you're going to get are all in the future when Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the team.
I think the Raiders are their only option.
Well, I think that's why it came out right before the draft, because he knew.
Unless the Niners would trade them Trey Lance, then I would have to consider that as well. Which I think is hard for the Niners to do now.
It'd be hard once you get the asset. It's one thing, because like John Lynch even said, well, you know, we're just reading the tea leaves like you guys. I'm like, well, John, you guys called before the tea leaves came out for the rest of us, but maybe he meant just historic, like the last few months Aaron's been doing. There have been, to John Lynch's credit, like there have been a few random, like, oh, he might host Jeopardy. You're like, what? Why is that a story today? Aaron might host
that was
Jeopardy. I mean, that was a rap sheet one the other day, but that was a rap sheet one like, you know, three weeks ago. It's like, well, why is this a story right now? Okay.
I think I wonder if Aaron thought that would get a little more traction. Like Aaron, no one believed
it.
Well,
they went back to it again.
Yeah. Like, it's like, Aaron, stop telling us Jeopardy. Is there anything in like the entertainment sphere that you would believe with Aaron? Like, it's not powerful enough of a story. You're better off just saying he'll retire.
Oh, like
he'll
got quit. Netflix has given him like a 5-movie package
yeah,
to start alongside Adam Sandler.
Aaron, the problem is your threats are hollow to the football community, right?
Hollow to the football community. And also, you know, there's a difference for the Packers between having to trade him to another team and just having him not be in football.
You'd like, rather do that.
Yeah, you'd rather. I think if you're the Packers, you'd rather him retire than have to trade him to the Broncos for 3 ones that are going to be in the 20s.
Yeah.
Just feels
better. I don't think you can trade him to the Broncos.
So Jeremy Fowler did say or write on Sunday that he is reportedly intrigued by the Raiders as well. He said they're happy with Derek Carr. Nothing's going on right now. It could very well extend Derek Carr sometime soon. But the Raiders look into every quarterback situation. They look to past free agents or trade options. So Gruden is sort of always lurking. You can't discount them. Someone made a good point to me the other day. They said on Twitter, they said, you know, Gruden doesn't draft quarterbacks. Like Gruden doesn't act like he's trying to replace Derek Carr.
Well, no, he signs veterans. Peterman, Mariota.
Yeah.
He signs veterans. He likes older guys at that position. Now, their picks, you know, they've been the last couple of years a middling 500 team, right? 7-9, 8-8. You're just not in olden days when like a Cutler or whatever might last to 11-15, like they would have been in somewhat of the range. These guys are getting gobbled up, all the sweet guys. Like his quarterback camp, if you look back at his quarterback camps, four or five of like the intriguing prospects would end up going second. Like he'd have the Dak Prescott's on, right?
Yeah.
I just think those guys get drafted higher now. But
wasn't that just because he talked to like 15 different quarterbacks or no?
That might be true now too.
Didn't he talk to everybody? I could be wrong about that.
But bottom line is, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr, it's not even a conversation. Like, if you really could get Derek or Aaron Rodgers for Derek Carr in like 2 1s, someone DM'd me the other day, like, listen, I'm a Raider fan. I don't quite understand, and at least it feels like from the outside, why aren't we being more aggressive when Russell Wilson and fucking Aaron Rodgers say we want to come? Al Davis rolling over in his grave. Like, in fairness, you and I talked about it like a couple days ago. It doesn't get much better than the two of the five best. I mean, Rodgers arguably the first last year, and Russell's like the third. What are we doing here?
I do think the problem with that is what does that mean? Like, you are dealing with two teams who have those players under contract who are not incentivized to trade those players for 70 cents on the dollar. So you can be as aggressive as you want. There is not a price you
can give. But there has not been a report they've made an offer. Well,
but again, there's not a price you can... You think they've called the Packers or the Seahawks? I bet they have. There's not a price you can offer the Packers that would make them willingly trade Aaron Rodgers. I'm convinced of that. There is nothing you can put on the table right now that would make them go... Like, let's say Aaron wasn't being a problem. That would make them just trade him. So they're going to try, and I would do it too, I think. Now, maybe they're waiting for a post.
Do you think if I called right now and said, hey, I'll give you 4 1s, 4 2s, and Derek Carr, they might say, hey, well, I get
back. I think they might still say no.
Yeah.
Well, do you think
you would rather have Aaron Rodgers than anything else,
yeah,
right?
They want to win a Super Bowl this year.
I don't want your fucking drafts. I want Aaron Rodgers.
So I think that's what's hard. If you're like Wise and Gruden being more aggressive. Well, he's trying to buy something that someone isn't selling.
Yeah. The guy wants his team to sell.
Yeah.
I think for both guys, though, and I think Russell, whether they talked him back into it, whether it was just the emotion of the end of the season.
Whether it comes back up.
I do think they had a terrible loss, right? A home game to Heinicke, or Heinicke's on the Washington team. What was his name? I don't even remember.
Who they play?
The Rams Wake Forest guy.
Oh, that
guy? Wofford.
Bison Daly? John Wofford?
Yeah. Wofford meets Goff. That was just losing a playoff game at home for Seattle. It was empty. That was just pretty bad.
Yeah.
To the Rams. So Russell was just, I think, emotional. The Rodgers thing does feel a little more big picture. Feels like he's been thinking about this. You do just wonder, like, you know, could the Raiders potentially just get to an offer where if they do come to grips and talk themselves into it, if they ever do, they are the most equipped to become aggressive on it, for sure.
By far.
I just don't see how the Denver could get them if the Raiders wanted them. If both teams wanted them, the Raiders should get them.
I agree.
Because the one thing is you don't need... Obviously, Derek's just part of the package.
And the same for us.
And I think for the Packers, you feel like you can make the playoffs. I do think, and we'll get into this probably as the week goes...
Here's a question. Before he was the MVP, what would the Packers have said about the possibility of swapping Aaron Rodgers for Derek Carr?
Like a year ago?
Yeah, like going into last year.
Yeah, I mean,
could they have
a couple ones
and
Derek?
This guy can actually be our quarterback of the future for the next 8 years.
But his value a year ago wasn't as good as his value is this
year.
No,
that's true. That's true.
So you would have had to give up more compensation? Like, I think it's easier for the Raiders to go, Derek's a one.
If you had said to the Packers, do you want to draft Jordan Love and try to replace Aaron Rodgers with him in 2021, or do you want to just swap out Aaron Rodgers for Derek Carr right now? I know what the better option would have been for them.
Yeah. Like, do you think when General Patton calls Gutekunst and says, hey, any package we'll put together, unlimited amount of picks, you can have Locke or Teddy. You think he just hears buzz, you know,
or both.
Actually,
we've got some DNA we froze from Elway. We'll let you grow that into another human. It's from 83. It's the good stuff.
Yeah. You know, honestly, General Patton, I'd rather have a 65-year-old John Elway than both those two guys.
All right, John, a few other things to get to here. By the way, can we talk about Keegan Bradley for a minute?
Yeah.
You break it down. So you had a $25 bet on Keegan Bradley at 75-1?
Yeah, paid $1,875
on a $25 bet.
Uh-huh.
And Keegan...
Tied for the lead going into Sunday.
Not just tied for the lead going into Sunday, like clearly had a chance to win from Thursday.
Yeah, had a chance to win for Thursday, which as a golf gambler, I've learned, I don't make much whether you're in the lead or a couple back. Thursday, Friday, I just need you in the mix. So I didn't get that overhyped.
I understand.
But tied for the lead, final group going into Sunday, you have a golf bet, it doesn't get any better.
And
my guy had a fucking lead on hole nine, guy. He had the lead with nine holes left. He's won four times. He's a major champion winner. I'm not trying to count my money, but I kind of had counted my money.
I thought you'd won. I'm like, Sam Burns is going to... Because Sam had taken the lead, and then Keegan took it back from him, right?
A couple back-to-back birdies. Like,
that's the moment. He just did it. And then I look up, and Keegan Bradley's in the straw, but Sam Burns is on the other side of the fairway, like behind some trees. They were both.
It's a tough course. He hit it in the water, I think, hole 14 or 15, and
it was tied.
Yeah, that was.
Had Burns already hit the green, or?
Yeah, I mean, he had like an 80-foot putt. He just safely hit the green. The water was a devastating. That would be the equivalent, probably, of a football, like a tie game. You have like the underdog. It looks like just a game winning field goal is going to happen and you're going to cover. And then like a fumble six happens or something. Right. I mean, it was a momentum shifter. Cause at first I'm like, is that in the sand? And I didn't have the sound on and they didn't show the ball. I'm like, that gotta be in the sand.
That's right.
It goes water, sand, grass, sand. And then they show the replay. Cause there's no ripples. So I was like, I didn't hit the water. Yeah. Right. Cause I didn't see any ripples. And you know why I didn't have any ripples? It was Keegan Bradley, I've learned this week, hits a very high ball, came down like a, you know, one, Greg Louganis, who's jumping from the platform. Perfect. No splash.
No splash. 10.0. Wrong sport, unfortunately. Well, as someone who you've played a lot of golf.
Also, trying not to get over my skis, I can't tell you the satisfaction. $25 turning it into $1,900, it doesn't get much better than that.
At what number does $25 feel good to you, turning into what?
I'd say anything over like $500 is pretty crazy.
Yeah, I went to nothing. College golf on Wednesday, Pac-12 championships. John, it's just walking around, and you said this to me before we started the podcast Sunday. You're like, it's just golf is just a grind. When you just watch shot after shot after shot after shot after shot. I was watching these guys in person the other day. You and I, we've been to golf tournaments. There is just so many things that can go wrong. So many things that can go wrong. I mean, it's just. It's crazy at the level of golf that these guys play where actually more things go right than go wrong because so many freaking things can go wrong. And sometimes wrong means just you hit the green, but you're just way further away than somebody else.
When you're gambling on golf, you know, most, even if you watch golf, it's an easy casual watch. When you're gambling on golf and turning 25 into 1900, I'm pretty locked in today. A couple times on like hole 4 and 7, he wasn't sure on clubs, and he kept going back and forth with his caddy. I'm like, I don't really like the – I like a super locked-in, confident. Like, you get a club, you go with it. It felt like he wasn't quite sure, but then he had these birdies on, like, hole 8 and 9. I'm like, okay, he just battled through it. He's going to win.
But I think that's most – to me,
he's friends with Michael Jordan. That's another thing. He's, like, friends with Michael Jordan.
Killer instinct. That's most guys.
Yeah,
I think if you watch enough swings on a course from one player, you realize that – because I remember I was watching this guy on Wednesday, and I'm like, God, this guy, he's just all over the place. He's really scrapping. It feels like he's on the edge. But really, that's just 18 holes for 4 days. Like, not everything feels like a scramble, but it's rare to just fairway, green, putt, putt, fairway, green, putt, putt, fairway, green, putt. It's just not normal. It's just such a mental line.
To me, I think the key is to have a guy in the mix on Sunday. You have a devastating penalty, a water ball, an OB ball, you know, a lost ball, an in the bush ball. That is the equivalent of a pick six in football. Like that water ball is just, that was devastating. I hit the ground, guy. I just like a slinky, you know, so I hit the ground. But again, I can't even be that mad. It's not like I just lost $500. But it was just the hope of,
I know.
God, what could I do with this? I had it spent.
A couple other things, Middlecoff, from the let's get into some YouTube comments here. Jeremy on YouTube says, so we're all alive today. Shanahan line.
We are.
Patrick says, yeah, fuck QuickBooks. I'm all about NetSuite. Thank you. We appreciate the support.
Yeah, get it.
Judd, in response to Shanahan and Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, says, Kyle said the plan is to start Jimmy and Trey back up. But it's Jimmy's job. He also said if it turns into a QB competition, then that's good for the 49ers. Yeah, I mean, it's It depends. Is it a competition because Trey Lance is playing up to his level? That's when it's good for the 49ers, that you feel comfortable with Lance and he's playing up to his level, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to Jimmy, nobody's separating themselves. But the one thing we know about Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's healthy, he is an NFL starter.
Yeah. Who has ups and downs. Like, he'll have a bad game.
Yeah, yeah. Even if you were healthy, you might be trying to upgrade him right now. I'm not saying you wouldn't.
I think the one elephant in the room this year would be, if it just goes as planned, Jimmy's a starter. What happens like week three in his three-pick game? Like last year, if he hadn't had rolled his ankle 15 times, you would have, no one's calling for Mullins or CJ. This would be like, can we just make the move now? You'll just feel it. Right?
Yeah. Well, again, the way he started before he got hurt last year, it wasn't a lot, a sample size, but it wasn't great. It was like, we talked about it. Why does he not look very good?
I thought his Arizona game week one was horrendous. Remember, he got Kittle killed.
It was bad. It was bad. Looked very uncomfortable. Shaheen says, Middlecoff, at what age do you go with the Bruce Arians hat? I did make a joke the other day. Like, the next ham hat's going to be the Arians Kangol hat. And some people, I got a couple DMs like, you guys doing more hats? Would you ever go
to the game? You think those would sell?
No.
Well,
I don't either. No.
I've tried them on before. I don't look very good.
I wish it was my look, but.
Yeah, just.
It feels like the only people that wear those are people who've been wearing that hat for 20 years.
He's just a cool guy. I mean, he just can pull it off. What do you think about the Nagy bald visor look? Should we do visors?
Yeah, I mean, if it just doesn't make any sense for a bald guy to wear a visor.
Well, no, I wouldn't do it, but I'm just saying people do like visors. I used to wear visors like in college.
There's one big question, right? Do you go with the big like Phil Mickelson visor or do you go with the smaller?
Do the big ones even still exist though?
Yeah, with the big pad. Right. I'm sure there's golf brand. I'm sure you can still buy golf brands that do them. Or you do the little kind of one with the, like, it's got like a smaller brim. Right. The Mickelson one is like a big sweeping brim. The little ones are just like super tight little brims. It's just like the visor itself is like that high. I've never liked them.
You know who's a big visor guy is Lincoln Riley. And his visor, like just the Nike visor that they wear at OU, is just... We used to have a couple at Fresno State. I know our guy Drew Hill wears it at Oklahoma too. It's just,
that's the
smaller. It's not too big, but it's not small. It's just well done.
But to me, that's the smaller visor is what that is.
I got a picture of Lincoln and Gary Patterson. Gary Patterson also. I think Nike has just the solid, you're right, the normal, smaller visor.
Different than the old Mickelson visor.
Yeah. I don't even, do those even exist anymore?
See, Gary Patterson's visor to me looks like a mix of the Lincoln Riley and the Mickelson. Yeah, I think they do exist. I follow enough golf guys on Instagram showing off their lettuce that I think big hair guys can wear the big old school
visors. I do think more football coaches wear visors than you realize.
Probably. Why?
Beside even the head coaches.
I wonder why.
I just
need their hair, just my head to breathe.
Lincoln's sneaky holding on for dear life. Let's not act like Lincoln's a, you know, Guy Haberman's hair. But I just, when I just go to Lincoln's Google Images, I feel like a lot of people he's in pictures with have visors on. I feel like there's just a lot of visors.
A lot of visors, yeah. You're right. I'm looking at him.
I think Bob Stoops was a visor
Stoops
guy.
Stoops wears the bigger visor.
Bob.
Yeah.
Back in his day.
Yeah. Bob wore the bigger, but that was also a Nike.
Probably was comfortable with it when he first got there, right? He had been a Nike guy. That you just wear what you wear.
I don't have my remote. EK Beasy says, been listening to the stream while watching the FCS playoffs on ESPN2. Sneakily entertaining games. I like the spring football. Is North Dakota State...
They got bounced today.
I saw somebody tweet like, oh, they got nothing. They can't throw the football. No offense.
Well, their guy just went third overall.
And they had like half a season to prepare for losing them. Here we go. Jackson John on the YouTube stream asked, there have been a few comments I've seen these today. Jackson asks, who's going to be the Niners' third receiver? You know, there's a lot of hope, I think, still for Jalen Hurd. Like, just, I get it from people.
That's a big hope.
Did you see John Lynch said, yeah, he's been working out. We haven't really seen him. We're hopeful. I don't know. Richie James at this point? Who is wide receiver number three? I mean, it helps, right, that your tight end is wide receiver. You got like
I will say this. It's to me a little more concerning when Debo has struggled to stay healthy and just the way George plays. I mean, George takes a lot of collateral damage. So it's like And their other guys played one season. Now, I think this goes back to you're going to run the shit out of the football, right? And that's even Kyle's like, you guys know me, right? But there's no hiding it. Like, we ain't spread offense here. I'm not having wet dreams to 60 completion, 60 attempt games. That's the thing, like, with the Chiefs, there's a reason they always draft wide receivers. Like, Andy's throwing the ball. Like, that's when push comes to shove, Andy's throwing. Yeah. With Kyle, to me, it's like he does want to hammer.
But he also
hammer.
Yeah, and he's got some guys. He's got guys that do other things. So he's got a few. He's going to throw it to Juszczyk a little bit. Obviously, he's going to throw it to Kittle a lot.
I forgot about him. He can catch the ball a little bit.
You forget about Juice?
I do forget about him sometimes.
He's our guy. Him.
I know.
God, John. Kyle, I'm sorry for Middlecoff. Debo, Ayuk. I to me right now, it feels like Richie James.
I actually think it's a pretty unreal spot for just some of the younger unnamed guys, just to kind of like, it's who knows, an undrafted free agent. Like, you get guy, that's a good spot. Like, if I was a agent and the undrafted free agent wide receivers, I would send them to San Francisco.
You thought you wide had open. Next.
I also would imagine Warren. They
Jason
are
says River Craycraft.
They have the 12th pick in the waiver claim. Like, who's to say that they couldn't be aggressive during the training camp that period of time claiming a guy? Right.
Yeah.
They're higher than you think. I mean, we talk about them like they're.
It's a good point.
Like 12-win team.
22 on the draft order.
No, they're. How about they're near the top? They're not waiting that far in line. What about a trade? Could you? Or they don't have as many assets. I guess you ideally don't want to. Would you trade for Julio Jones?
Well,
what would you trade for Julio Jones if the money could work?
Well, I don't have
would
any.
You feel
ones
comfortable trading a third? No ones. You need your two. I can't trade a two for Julio. Could you get him for a three?
Just I don't think you could.
Salary dump.
I don't think you could, but. If you could, I would.
You shouldn't be able to, but the money is a factor. I mean, he makes a ton and he's old.
Oh, that person. Would you trade your sarcastic about River Craycraft? Sorry.
Would you trade your second round pick for Julio Jones next year? I'd think about it.
No one would complain.
I'll tell you that much.
What I go back to is, like, again, you've got guys that you want to feed the ball to. You've got, as long as everybody's like, and Kyle said this is. And I don't know.
Couldn't that extend his career then for a couple years? And then you got all three?
It would be great if you did. But you don't. But again, your receivers are not necessarily your primary pass catchers. 1, 2, and 3. Because you throw the ball to Kittle so much. Right?
Yeah.
So I got Ayuk. He's cheap. I got Debo. He's cheap. Do I not have enough guys to throw the football to? I think I do if I'm Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. But I don't. I'm getting Julio Jones to make my team unstoppable. Like, it's just we have so many options.
No, I'm with you. I love the idea of him. Don't get me wrong.
But my point is, like, the year that they went to the Super Bowl, 16, like, his 2 years with Kyle, that second year, he was 83 catches when their offense was unreal.
Yeah, that's a little
more
than...
They missed two games.
But that's a little more than A.J. What did A.J. Green have? No, that's not right. What do you have, 40? I thought he had, like, 71, but maybe it was in the 40s.
Now, here's the thing, like... If you just polled all the GMs, they'd be like, he's going to be 32. Like, he's had a decade-long career. The arrow's pointing down. He makes $20-plus million a year. Like,
well, the money's a big factor. I would say this. Like, for his physicality, do I need him to be fast at 34 years old to be an effective receiver? I don't think I do.
No. That's why. If I could steal him, if willing to take the cash, which is a bigger issue than I think most people that just talk about football factor in, if you can steal him, I'm not opposed to it. I couldn't give a second, but if I can get him for a third, I just wonder if his market, given how much money he makes, is probably smaller. I guess my ultimate point is, I bet you say Julio Jones, every fan's like, oh, the best. That's not how the league views him when you factor in age, when you factor in money, right?
Yeah, and also, when we say who's the Niners' third receiver, I don't view them like they only have two pass catchers.
But what if Julio's your one and those other guys get to be 2 and 3?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
He knows the offense.
I drafted Brandon Ayuk in the first round. I want him to be my third receiver? No. I want him to be my number one or my number two receiver.
Well, he gets to be your second, and Debo gets to be your third.
Well, maybe that does keep Debo healthy. I mean, one thing Kyle talked about, and they talked about this with the draft this year, even though, I guess, historically, a few of the guys they drafted have had some injuries. Like Trey Sermon has had some injuries. But one thing Kyle made the point to say is, like, injuries were a problem. We can't have hurt guys on this team. We cannot have hurt guys on this team.
Good luck.
Yes, it's football. But, I mean, generally speaking, you you make deep runs, you're a healthy team. I mean, that stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Luck's on your side a little
bit. Yeah, you do have to be lucky.
I remember my first year in the league, or maybe second, like that we did like this healthiest team breakdown. It was like the year the Raiders had finally got 8-8 after the worst 10-year stretch ever, you know, from like 2003 to 2011. They were the healthiest team in the league
year. And they only got it 8-8. Like the Niners, yeah. When they went to the Super Bowl, they were the healthiest or second healthiest team.
If a playoff level team is healthy, they're like a lock 12-win team. You know, like on a given
good roster is healthy. Yeah.
If a Ravens, a Packers, a Steelers, it's just a lock. They're winning. Honestly, you get the right team, it's like 14 wins.
Dominic says, I know I'm late to this, been out of range for 2-3 days of the draft, but is Kyle Trask going to Tampa going to ensure that Brady plays until he's 50? Yeah, I
don't think it's that crazy of a pick.
No, I don't think it's a crazy pick. It makes sense to me. I do wonder. They had a good little incubation thing going on around Tom. Tom loved Griffin. He helped him off the boat. He loved Blaine Gabbert. I know it's not, you know, if you're Arians, you just want a young guy that you can coach. You're not really, I don't know who else you're, but I don't know.
It's like a passion project.
Yeah, Tom just had a good little thing kind of insulated in his QB room around him. I don't.
You think it's better with Blaine not being a threat or anything?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But if you're threatened,
is Tom threatened by Trask? No, but I do think I bet the way Tom works is just he loves the efficiency of having guys that understand what he needs around him, guys who understand that their job is not to get better to try and take his job. Their job is just to help him be. Like, if I'm those guys, I'm like, the longer Tom plays, the longer I'm here. The longer I'm getting backup money because Tom likes me around.
Yeah, see, to me, he signed a 2-year contract. So he is an unrestricted free agent. I guess he signed
the Bucs are doing what's best for them. I get it.
Yeah. To me, the blow is to Gabbert. Like, this is... Trask probably ends up as your backup, right? Gabbert could be in trouble. You draft him in the second round?
No, you hope he does. If he does, then I bet the other two guys, one of them ends up active. I bet they have 3 quarterbacks active on game day.
Probably,
I don't really know.
Probably true. Maybe he needs that with like the way they work.
I just guess he wants another guy there with him who knows what he's looking for, knows what he needs to see. Now maybe he doesn't. Maybe Bruce.
So you're saying that Griffin and Whalen are competing for the one spot, which is probably true. There are 3 spots. Trask just might get scholarshiped in. You don't cut a second.
Whalen.
I meant Griffin and I called the Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah,
Blaine Gabbert Whalen.
Yeah.
I don't know why. You're not cutting. Like, Kyle Trask is a lock to make the roster.
Yeah, he's got
second round
right.
picks do not get cut. Yeah. So he's just taking a spot.
I wonder,
so basically, those two guys are fighting for one spot.
If he is the backup, that's interesting. I'm not. Someone suggested he's better than Gabbert. I'm not saying he's not better. I'm just saying I think Tom probably has an idea.
Same with the coaches. Like, they're trying to win a Super Bowl. I mean, they're not messing around.
Yeah.
Trask is just trying to figure out life, right, as a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
You're right there.
It's a good
team is really good. They're going to be.
That'll be a
discussion. You could see it. The one thing you could see it on draft week is like, because Arians is a cocky guy naturally. They know it now. They're like, they're going to be, they were this year, but I think truly they're going to be viewed as like the big, like the powerhouse this year. Everyone's gunning for them.
I bet it's a pretty secure.
Which is good for Kansas City too. They get to fly a little more under the radar.
I bet it's a pretty secure feeling to feel like whoever you're drafting doesn't have to be a major impact guy right away, right? You draft Joe Tryon at 32. It's like, you don't need, sometimes you need your first rounder to come in and be a major impact player. The Niners did last year. That's not the position the Bucs are in, right?
Jason Light's going to learn though is like, let's say Tryon and Trask suck and then they win the Super Bowl again and he has a crappy draft. People are like, he can't draft anymore. It's like, no, he's just drafting at the end of the round. We've seen him draft. He's fine. It's hard.
They do. The percentages do. If you draft long enough, it's like no one's drafting 50% starters. It historically doesn't go that way if you draft enough drafts.
But don't you think a lot of it is like, where are you drafting? Well, I don't think
Absolutely.
We talk about it enough.
You get good, it gets harder. Seahawks got good. All of a sudden, it got harder to draft.
It's like, why is he not hitting on third round picks? Well, because he's not drafting 64th. He's drafting 100th. Like, it's a big swing here.
Yeah, it's It's why we talk about those top five misses so much. When you miss Cleveland Farrell, you're missing Solomon Thomas. It's like, just if you're going to be good, yeah, you just don't get that many shots at those types
of things. In fairness, no one ever calls you like, draft busts aren't all equal. No. We talk about a top five draft bust a lot different than even like an AJ Jenkins at 28. Like, he just sucked. It's like, to me, a bust, like a true bust, it does feel like top 15 type picks. You're just a bad player. It was a missed pick. Maybe that's just me. I'd have to think about that.
But I would say, like, Solomon Thomas drafted very high, did play and give you value. AJ Jenkins gave you zero value.
Yeah, he was an awful football player. Is that a bust?
I mean, they traded him for the other guy from the Chiefs who also had done nothing. That was an all-time trade.
Yeah, did they both just suck?
Yeah, you just missed.
Yeah.
So, but I think we'll talk more about the Bucs maybe and just the big picture of the NFL this week. And, you know, a lot of Trey Lance, a lot of everything. We'll get to some other teams' drafts.
Season here yet? Week one?
Schedule release in a week and a half. So the countdown's on for that.
Yeah. I see you, Roger.
But appreciate, I know we got to, yeah. We know
Roger's no dumb. You know, he's like, wait, they're going to boycott OTAs? I got something in my back pocket. Tell Schefter, because Schefter tweeted out like last week or 2 weeks ago. Turns out he's like, typically it's before the draft this year, after the draft. I'm like, I'm cool. I'm good.
The one thing that'd be hard, right, to do your idea and you stretch it out over several days is like,
because you know the other. Because even NFC, AFC, it's like, well, you are playing AFC teams. So you'd be like, well, we know we're playing this team. I'm fine. I mean, we're good with it. Win, win, loss, London, bye, early bye. I mean, I love the way the early part of the schedule shakes up. And then it turns out, well, actually, the Jags turned out to be a 10-win team. That team turns out to suck. You're one of the Texans' three wins, you know. Because is there one show... Is there one radio show / podcast in America that if they are focusing on an individual team that will give their team a L versus the Texans? There ain't fucking one.
No.
Jets included.
Texans are going to 0-17 according to everybody else.
Everyone else. The worst case, they'll probably be like 3-14. They're going to get some wins. I mean, guy, the Jags just had the best record in the league. Remember, they won week one versus Phillip Rivers. Think about that. Like, the Jags had that banked win from week one. Can you remember watching, like, God, is Phillip Rivers shot?
I do remember.
Remember he threw that bad pick?
Yep.
But then the Colts ended up going to the playoffs, and they got bounced.
Yep.
Already kind of miss Phillip. He's just gone. Who are we going to watch throw random picks at, like, 4 o'clock on the Pacific at Sundays?
Well,
because Derek doesn't really, he just dumps.
Yeah, you're right.
Lock, Colts, I guess. Just,
well, it's a good question.
I guess Philip, those picks actually with the Colts turned into like 12:45 Pacific time.
But they all look, they look the same. Sorry,
they, I'm just, no, looking, it looked the same. Just the times were different.
Yeah. I was looking for a story, but can't find it. We'll deal with it later.
Adios.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like the page. Mailbag on the podcast. Let's hang again soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.